Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm excited to have you join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So on tonight, we're going to discuss our hashtag moment, and the hashtag for the month of July is Do the Impossible. We'll continue with our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. We'll go into our segment titled Let's Be Real, where I will make my weekly confession, and then we'll go into our main discussion tonight titled Strength to Do, and then we'll end the evening with our dose of spiritual wellness and final greetings. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show. So that includes Wellness and Faith, Do the Impossible, Let's Be Real, hashtag moment, or anything else that you think of that really resonates with you. Just be sure to contact or to actually tag me, rather, at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. You are also more than welcome to call into the show live with any questions and comments about anything that we're discussing tonight. The number to call into the show is 347-850-1154. Again, that's 340-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can actually look at the show website there on Blog Talk, and you'll be able to get that number once again. It's also playing throughout the show, slideshow as well. So let's go right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a particular topic that's related to my monthly blog, and then we post on social media and we talk about it with that particular hashtag. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My last blog, actually Do the Impossible, was published a few weeks ago, so you can go and check that out. My next blog that will be coming out within the next week is titled Living with Broken Pieces, so you definitely want to read that as well. So definitely go to radiantsunshine.org, read the blogs there, and also tons of other helpful wellness tips that is there on the website, and I would love to hear your feedback. So, again, the hashtag for the month of July for the show is Do the Impossible. So feel free to post on social media, hashtag, and tag me at Weary Consult. So in order to do the impossible, you must ignore the fears and insecurities of others. So it's going to be, first of all, really important for you to be able to discern between the people who don't want you to succeed and those that don't want you to fail. Again, I'm going to repeat that. It's going to be so important while you're on your journey of doing the impossible for you to be able to discern between the people who don't want you to succeed and those that don't want you to fail. So for the group of people who don't want you to succeed, they will speak to you out of their own insecurities and out of their own jealousy and their envy of what you are doing and what you have accomplished and what you are trying to do as well. So these are the people who they are stuck in whatever circumstances that they're stuck in, and they don't want to see anyone else not remaining in that same situation as well. You know, they have not been able to accomplish whatever dreams and goals that they've had. They haven't been able to have the success that they feel they should have had by this point in their lives. And so as you're speaking to them about the impossible task or the impossible vision that you have for yourself, they will now speak to you and tell you how you can't do it and how you're crazy, or they will tell you how, you know, they will remind you of every single obstacle that's going to be in front of you and why you're not capable of overcoming that obstacle. They will tell you how the risk is too much. They will tell you how that you are going to be embarrassed when you fail. They're the ones that will try to talk you out of doing anything that will actually produce progress and success in your life. So these are the people who don't want you to succeed. And with these particular group of people, you definitely need to establish boundaries when it comes to how they're able to interact in your life. Now, depending on who this particular person is, you may not be able to actually completely remove them out of your life. But let's say, you know, if you're working for a particular company or a different organization and you're not the supervisor of this person, and or if this person is not doing anything that would warrant even them no longer being employed here, you can't change the fact that they're your employee. Or let's say if it's a family member, you can't get rid of people in your family. However, you can choose how often you interact with them and to what extent. You know, when it comes to, let's say, if you have coworkers who are, you know, really negative and they no longer want to actually help you to do well at your job so you can get the promotion, let's say, that you may be going for, then you no longer need to talk to that individual about your desire to get a different position. You know, you need to just keep it friendly, just say hello, good morning, good afternoon, you know, still do what you need to do as far as carrying out your responsibilities, but you no longer need to divulge your plans and what you want to do and how you want to continue to move forward at your job. When it comes to your family members, there's just certain discussions that you shouldn't have if you know that those family members or even friends or acquaintances fall within that category where they don't want you to succeed. As excited as you may be and as much as you want to share about what's going on in your life, if you know that this individual does not desire to see you succeed, then there's just certain conversations that you shouldn't have with them. There's certain interactions that you should stop having with this person or these group of people once you see that they fall into the category of not wanting you to succeed. Because at the end of the day, if you continue to interact with them outside of those boundaries, then what you're going to see is they're trying to sabotage you. They'll continue to sabotage your plans, they'll sabotage your character, and they'll do whatever they need to do in order to ensure that you will not succeed. But then there's a second group of people. These are the people who don't want you to fail. And the difference between this group of people and the other group of people is that these people will come and talk to you out of their concerns because they want you to continue to do well. They don't want you to experience the shame or the hurt or the embarrassment that will come from you going after this task or this vision or this goal, and then you actually don't meet it. And so, but with this particular group of people, it's not that they don't feel that you're capable. They just don't want to see you hurt. They don't want to see you in a position of not meeting your goal, and so they're going to tell you to play it safe. And so they're actually coming from a position of genuine concern and genuine care and genuine love about you and your well-being and about your future. And so with these group of people, you know, you don't necessarily need to have the same boundaries as the other group of people who don't want you to succeed, but there still needs to be some limitations to how you interact with them. So with the people who don't want to see you fail, you can still interact with them on a pretty frequent basis. You can still have some discussions about things that's going on in your life, but then there needs to be a limit on what type of advice you actually take with them. And then there still may be some discussions that you will not have with this group of people. Because at the end of the day, their own fears of you failing could actually prevent you from moving forward. And because at the same time, you're recognizing that this person is talking to you and they're talking to you from a place of genuine concern. They really do want to see you succeed. They want to continue to do well. And so in their own minds, if they see that there's a possibility that you won't meet it, not because, again, they don't see you as capable, but they just may see that you're not prepared enough in their eyes at this particular point in your journey, then they may try to toss you out of it. But if you're on this journey of trying to do the impossible, everything is not going to always make sense. There are some things that you're going to have to do that everything is not already prepared before you. All the steps are not lit. The journey is not fully, you know, rebuilt to you. There are some things that is going to be really hard, and you really may have some obstacles that the first time that you try to overcome them, then you really do fail. But at the same token, you still have to keep going, because in order to do the impossible, you can't give up. Even when the odds seem like they are stacked completely against you, you have to continue to move forward And sometimes you have to do it alone. You definitely have to get rid of the people who don't want to see you succeed. You have to remove them from your life. You have to get rid of that negativity. And then you also need to limit the interaction and the level of communication that you have with the people who don't want to see you fail. Because this is your journey. The goals, the visions, the desires that you have that you want to achieve, these are all things that God has given to you. These are things that he has placed within your heart, that he has put within your mind and your will for what to accomplish. And so at the end of the day, it's not anybody else's journey to complete but your own. And so you have to have the confidence, you have to have the determination that despite what other people may say, despite what they may think, despite of what they may think even of your capabilities and what you're, you know, able to do, at the end of the day, it's not their journey. And so you have to still continue on the journey of doing the impossible, because at the end of the day, as you continue to move forward, as you continue to do what God has led, put on your heart to do, as you continue to follow his leading and his direction, you are going to see that eventually you will do the impossible. So in order to do the impossible, what you need to do is be mindful of those who don't want to see you succeed and those who don't want to see you fail, and be able to put the appropriate boundaries in place based upon the discernment that you're able to see from their particular point of view. So if you would like to know more about doing the impossible, you can check out my blog titled Do the Impossible on the RadiantSunshine.org website. And if you would like to call into the show with any thoughts or comments on that particular topic, you are more than welcome to do that at this time as well. If you need the phone number for the show, you can go ahead and look at the blog at the show website, blogtalkradio.com. So now we're going to go into our next segment that is titled To Believe or Not to Believe. And this is a point in the show where we talk about different reasons why it might be difficult to actually have faith in or to believe in God. For the past few weeks, we have been doing a series on the show talking about the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament. And so we've been talking about all the miracles that Jesus has performing, and we've discussed, you know, the incidents and what has occurred, and we talked about if it's easy to believe that these particular incidents actually did take place. And so on tonight, with this particular miracle that we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking about the miracle of Jesus where he actually heals the person, a man, who is possessed with a demon. And with being possessed with this demon, he actually wasn't able to speak. And so once Jesus actually heals him of this particular issue and he is no longer possessed by the demon, he is now able to speak. So this account of this particular miracle can be found in Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 35. And so with the players that we have in this particular miracle, we have the man who was possessed with a demon and subsequently cannot speak because of being possessed with this demon. We have Jesus who is there. We have a crowd of people who are still lingering around Jesus. And then we also have a group of Pharisees, they're there as well. And so what happens, Jesus has actually just got done performing another miracle prior to this man actually being brought to Jesus. So there were some people who knew him, and they knew of his condition, and they also knew of Jesus' fame with him becoming really popular because of the fact that he had performed so many other miracles before. So they're looking at this person that just knows this man, and they're thinking, like, okay, if there's any hope for this man to be able to ever speak again, to be able to have his life back, then we need to actually take him to Jesus. And so they take this man to Jesus. Jesus looks at the man. He goes ahead and he actually frees him from the demon. And as a result of being free from that demon, he is now able to speak. And what's interesting about what happens after this is that the crowd is completely amazed that this man is now able to speak. And so they're looking at this, and mind you, this crowd, some of them had already seen the miracle that Jesus had just performed prior to this. And so, but they're still amazed, were able to see with their own eyes the miraculous healing power of Jesus. And so they're like, wow, this is amazing. We have never seen anything happen like this at all. But what's so interesting is that within that crowd, you have a group of Pharisees, and as the Pharisees see the exact same thing happen, they have a different interpretation. Here it is, their interpretation is that Jesus is not doing this miracle by the power of God, but that instead he is actually casting out the demons by the power of what they call the prince of devils. Despite the Pharisees wrongly interpreting what is going on, Jesus just goes about his business. He continues teaching and preaching in the temple. He continues to minister to the people that he meets, and he continues to perform miracles and healing people from all different types of sicknesses and all types of different types of diseases. And so this attracts to apply this to our own lives is that sometimes we are so burdened down with issues in our lives that it can prevent us from moving forward. It can prevent us from doing the things that we should be able to do, just carrying out our basic responsibilities or being able to even have the confidence to continue to go forward and reach our goals or go for our dreams or to even try to find this happiness and to have healthy, fulfilling relationships with our families and with our coworkers or neighbors or anyone else that we interact with. And so in order to become free from that, we have to access the healer, which is Jesus. And what Jesus heals us, we have to then have the discernment and be in the place to have the spiritual insight to see that it is truly the power of God. We can't obtain or we can't ascribe our victory or our healing to anything else but God because we put ourselves in a position of not being able to give glory to the one who it should be given to, and now we can be entrapped again because if we can't even accurately discern that where our power came from and that it came from God or where our healing came from or whatever the issue is in our life that has not been resolved and we can't see how God's hand was the one that performed what we needed to happen and we ascribe our change and circumstances to our own talents, our own abilities, or maybe the talents, abilities, or power of other individuals in our lives, then we run the risk of being entrapped again. Because if we can't accurately see how this situation was resolved, then we won't be able to accurately see how other situations are going to be resolved or how they should happen or where the proper answer is going to be coming from. So what about you? Do you believe that this miracle took place in the Bible? Do you believe that Jesus is able to heal a man who is possessed with a demon, and then as a result, this man is now able to speak? Feel free to call into the show. Get a number to call in. It's 347-850-1154. I would love to hear your thoughts on the matter. As far as me, I definitely believe that this miracle took place. You know, as I always say, I have seen the miraculous healing power of God in my own life personally and in the lives of tons of people that I know. So I choose to believe. So what about you, to believe or not to believe? You can let me know, even post on social media, and just tag me at Weary Consult. So now we're going to go into our segment titled Let's Be Real. So this is the point in the show where I make a weekly confession, and I am transparent about my mistakes, about my shortcomings and areas where I had to grow in, but I'm also very honest about the progress and the successes that I've had in my life as well. And the purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is simply people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession on tonight is that I have amazing friends who also have amazing friends. So this confession actually comes from the weekend that I was able to hang out with some of my friends from college. It's always a great time whenever we get together. We don't get together as frequently as we would like, but when we do all get to see each other, it's like we never missed a beat. And so I had an awesome weekend hanging out with my friends from college, and then we actually met other friends of one particular friend who also live in the area, you know, as well. And so here is, you know, I've heard a lot about these other friends who are really good friends of my particular friend. And so with our mutual friend, like, introducing all of us, it was just really a really great time. We laughed. We had a great time. We really connected, you know, on so many levels. And it was just overall a really great experience. And I had a similar experience like this a few months ago as well where one of my friends introduced me to some of her other friends. And now as a result, there's been more friendships that have come out of that as well. And so my social network continues to expand as I meet the friends of my friends who are also great and amazing people. And what's so awesome about having my social network continue to broaden is that the diversity of the people that is in those networks, it continues to increase as well. And one thing I can tell you is that I've always had a pretty diverse group of friends, which has been pretty awesome. You know, even in college, we had a group. Our group was called the Peer Circle Table Crew, and that was because we always sat at the one circle table that was in the cafeteria, the main cafeteria, you know, at on our campus. And within our group, we had so many races and ethnicities and cultures represented. And so it was just really a great experience to be able to get to know individuals who grew up not only just in different cities and different states from you, but who grew up in different parts of the world, and to be able to learn more about their experience and their worldviews and their perspectives, and to be able to gain a greater understanding of what it means to be a person that is living and trying to attain a dream, but was coming from different parts of the world. And so I can tell you that now, like I said, as my social network is expanding, I have people within my network that really comes from so many different professions and geographical locations and even various stages in life. And so with this, it really enables me to have a broader perspective of what it means to have just this experience of living life and overcoming various challenges. And so I would encourage everyone to just to have that same experience as well, is to try to get out of your comfort zone and have exposure, and to expose yourself to new experiences and to new people, even people who don't look like you, to people who don't live how you live, to people that have different perspectives and different ideologies than you do. Because when you're exposing yourself to these different type of people who have different type of experiences, who their experiences are not better or worse than ours, no one is better than a particular person because of how you were raised, or particularly, or because of your particular, you know, background or who your parents are, or even maybe the amount of wealth that you would have. At the end of the day, each of our experiences are so important. And so exposure is even going to be crucial, not only to your own personal success, but also to your ability to be able to relate to and interact with people who are different from you. The more you interact with people who are different from you, the better that you will get at interacting with people who are different from you. And when we look at all the things that are going on in our world, we definitely need more empathy. We need to be able to look at the other person and to see their pain, and to be able not only to validate their pain, but to understand it and to relate to it, and to also try to do what we can to relieve that pain. And so I believe it's so important to take the time out on a regular basis to expose yourself to new people, to new experiences, so you can be a person that truly knows how to love. You can be a person that knows how to relate to individuals and advocate for people and for those who are being taken advantage of that are disenfranchised, or even be able to give aid to someone who is in need. All right, so at this point in the show, we're going to take a brief commercial break. We're going to hear our wellness moment from Sharia Farmer. Sharia Farmer is the executive director and also licensed therapist of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center. And after this commercial break, we'll be right back.
Today's wellness moment. Today's wellness moment is be grateful. It is one of the best things in the world to really reflect on the things that you have and to be able to really acknowledge the things that you do have in your life so that you can have a level of gratitude. And also, it's been shown that when a person is grateful, they actually can identify the things that make them happy. It actually helps to for them to have a less experiences of sadness, and it also helps them balance with the ups and downs because they can reinforce when they are down that they have things to be up for. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have bad moments, doesn't mean that you're not going to have things in life that happen that bring you down, but what it does mean is that you'll have a level of great gratitude or gratefulness that you can return to when these moments come. I really think that this is an important one because it helps to maintain your health, realizing that there's good times and bad times, but you can always identify some good in your life. And also just take a minute, maybe about 1 or 2 minutes a day, either in the morning or even before you go to bed, just to kind of be grateful. So So that's our wellness moment for this week. You guys be well.
Welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags mentioned throughout the show. And if you hear anything during the show that sparks a question or that encourages you or really resonates with you, feel free to post on social media and to tag me at Weary Consult. And you can also call into the show live. The number to call in is 347-850-1154. So for tonight, our main discussion is titled Strength to Do. And this title is actually based upon a pretty well-known scripture, which is Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Really interesting about the scripture is that even as much as it is quoted, is that sometimes it's quoted without the proper context and without the full understanding of what Paul meant when he was writing this particular verse. And so what I'm actually going to do is read the verses prior to that, and I'm going to be reading from the NIV. And so this is Philippians 4:11-13. Because I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him, which gives me strength. And so when you look at this particular verse and you read it just with those two verses prior to that, you get a full understanding of where Paul was coming from. He was really coming from a place of reflection where he was thinking about all the experiences that he has had in his life. And so with Paul, like, he had such a wide range of experiences where he experienced being the one in control. He experienced having leadership and power. He actually was in the position to kill Christians, and he did it pretty regularly. There were tons and hundreds of Christians who were murdered under the authority and the power of Paul prior to him himself becoming a Christian. And then he had this experience on the road to Damascus where he actually had a visitation from God. And in doing this, this completely changed the whole course of the rest of his life. Paul became a Christian, and then once becoming a Christian, he now goes from being a prosecutor to being a prosecutor. And so he goes through so much in life. He's in prison several times, and, you know, he's been talked about, and he's been ostracized. He's had even people who were his friends turn their backs on him. He's had experiences in his life where he had plenty to eat, where he was able to get whatever he wanted, where he was able to get what he needed. But then he also had experiences in life where he didn't have anything to eat, where he didn't even have clothes on, where he had to sleep cold and in barren places, where he didn't even have comfortable places to sleep. And so when you look at now Philippians 4:13 and say that I can do all things through him that gives me strength, Paul was saying that despite whatever his circumstances that happened, is that he was so able to find contentment, he was so able to find true, genuine satisfaction because at the end of the day, it came from the strength of Christ. So he was able to find satisfaction when he had whatever he needed and everything he wanted. He was also able to find satisfaction when he didn't have the basic necessities to live a decent life. He was able to find true satisfaction when things were going right, and he was able to find true satisfaction when things were going horribly wrong. He was able to find satisfaction when life was guaranteed and things were going so awesome, but then he was also able to find satisfaction when he looked death right into the face. You know, Paul experienced being shipwrecked several times, and even in Acts 27, during one of the shipwrecks that he experienced, here it is that they're on the verge of really dying because the ship has gone through this crazy storm. It's being broken up. They've had to toss all their food and other resources overboard in order to lighten the ship. And here it is, Paul stands up in the midst of the almost 300 people that were on board, and they're fearing for their lives, and they've lost hope, and they're just waiting for the moment where it's all going to be over. They don't even have the hope of life, of living at all. And here is Paul experiencing the exact same thing that they are experiencing. He's able to stand up in the midst of all of that and to give a word of encouragement and hope to everyone that was there. He assured them that they would not die. He assured them that there was still hope. He assured them that this experience would not be the end. And sure enough, as Paul was saying, that's what happened. The ship was destroyed. Everything was broken up. But they were still able to make it to shore, and every single person lived. For those that were able to swim, they swam to the shore. And for those that were not able to swim, they got hold of boards. They got hold of broken pieces, and they drifted to shore, and every single person made it through. And so when you look at Paul experiencing this, and like he's experiencing the same death, the same dire circumstances as everyone else, and he was still able to have hope and assurance in what God has promised him, it was the strength of God that enabled him to be able to do that. See, when you have access to Jesus, when you have access to the strength that he gives us, you are now empowered to handle and to do all. His strength is all sufficient. His strength is all-knowing. His strength is fully capable. And God's strength never changes, nor does it lose its potency. The strength of God has the same level of potency that it had on yesterday, hundreds and thousands of years ago, that it had that created the entire universe, that created nothing from something, created something rather from nothing, that took the earth and formed it and separated the waters from the land, that tossed the stars in the sky, that arranged the entire universe. That same strength that was able to speak and things happen is the same strength that still exists today. That same potency is still there. And this is what we have access to, where we can now have the same assurance that Paul says, where I can do all things through him that gives me strength. And so let's be honest, let's be real. Life can get really hard at times. There can be things that happen in our lives that weaken us and tear us down to our very core. And there can be times where we just really wonder, why is this happening to me? What is the meaning of life? What is occurring? Why is this going on? Why cannot things get ahead? Why is it always problem after problem and issue after issue and troublesome time after troublesome time? Why can't I just have a moment where things just work out as I planned them? I'm putting in the hard work. I'm putting in the effort. Why is it not paying off? But we feel like that in those moments because we're depending on our own strength. We feel like that because we're trying to work it all out by the way that we think it should be worked out. We're trying to use our logic, which is limited. As intelligent as we are, as talented and skilled as we are, there is a limit to what we can understand, what we control, and what we can do. And so this is why we depend on the strength of God, because his strength is perfect. And because his strength is capable to give us exactly what we need to make it through whatever difficult circumstance that we are going through. When you are equipped with God's strength, you can do more, you can endure more, you can accomplish more, and you will not ultimately fail. You will experience failure, and there will be times when you get weak, and it's not because there's something wrong with the strength and the power of God. It's not because God is failed, but it's because we are imperfect, because we are mortal beings, and because we won't always get it right. And so when we experience failure, sometimes it's because of what we have done wrong. But then there are also times where God will allow us to experience failure. He will allow us to experience lack, all for us to be able to know the fullness of him and for him to be able to get the glory. When you look at Job's situation, the Bible says that Job was perfect and upright before God. So Job didn't do anything wrong. Job lost everything he had, all of his cattle, all of his children, and lost his home, and even went through health challenges, all because the devil wanted to just test him. He wanted to prove that the only reason why Job lived an upright life, lived a righteous life, is because of all the blessings that God had given to him, all the material blessings. And so with Job going through everything that he went through, he proved that the reason why he believes in God and why he trusted in God was because of who God was to him, not because of what God gave him. And so he went through all of that. Even when you look at Jesus himself, Jesus was without sin. And yet he came on earth to become man here in the flesh, 100% God, 100% man. And here it is. He goes through all of this of being ostracized and talked about. He goes through being beaten and tortured and actually hung on a cross and dying, all just so we can have another chance to live, so we can have access to eternal life. And so there are some times that we will go through difficulties to know more about God, for us to be able to prove the righteousness of God, to be able to give glory to God so that people will look at our lives and be blessed by our experiences and our enduring, and then they will now seek to know the God to help us be able to go through all of that. Like, I can tell you that even with me personally, you know, about 2 weeks ago, 1 or 2 weeks ago, I had a conversation with, you know, a particular individual, and, you know, we were just having a casual conversation, and this individual shared with me how my experience has actually been an encouragement to them. And I was shocked because I'm thinking, like, wow, you know, the things I've been through, like, you know, I'm not always proud of that. There's some things I wish I wouldn't have experienced in my life, but being able to share what I've gone through and that transparency actually was an encouragement to that individual. Where, like, okay, well, if you've experienced hard times in your life and you're still having faith in God and you're still trusting God, then I can do it too. So you never know who's watching you. You never know who is being blessed even by your trouble. You never know who is being encouraged by your hard times. You never know who is actually being strengthened by even your own pain. So you don't want to give up. You don't want to try to depend on your own strength. You really and truly want to seek the strength of God so that you can continue to have this declaration that actually becomes a way of life that says, I can do all things through him that gives me strength. Because when we seek the strength of God, we can ask that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And so even through our temporary moments of defeat, our temporary moments of weakness, where we feel like we just can't go on anymore, where we feel like we can't take just one more issue. And I've had plenty of moments like that in my life. You know, even before I had my own experience where I experienced the physical healing in my body, I had a physical issue. And I remember prior to receiving that healing, my prayer to God was, God, I can't take this anymore. Can you please take this pain away? And immediately the physical ailment that I was suffering from was gone. It was healed. And that was 4 years ago, and I haven't dealt with that issue ever since. And so I know what it's like to go through situations where things are going great and awesome, and I know what it's like to go through situations where it seems like all hell is breaking through. But I can tell you that the only way that I have made it, that I continue to make it, is with the strength of God. And so if God's strength can help me to make it through any and every situation, I know that his strength can do the same thing for you. So seek the strength of God. Seek to be comforted with his peace and with his knowledge and with his plan, even when they don't make sense. Because as we continue to follow God's lead, as we continue to walk the path that he has set before us, even when we don't understand, even when we don't like it, we will see that the scripture will stand true that says that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. And we will be able to look back and say, I did that because God's strength strengthened me. So now with our dose of spiritual wellness, our dose of spiritual wellness is just one tip this week. And our dose is, the strength you need is found in Jesus. So take a dose of Jesus through prayer, through reading your Bible, by going to church, by listening to inspirational music, even with talking or taking a walk outside to experience the beauty of nature and to be able to see the creation that God has made and access the strength of God that you need. However way that you need to take this dose, just make sure that you get a dose of Jesus, that you get a dose of his strength, because it is with his strength that you will be able to do everything that you need to do. So that is the end of our show on this week. As always, I have enjoyed being with you all, and I look forward to communicating with you all on next week. This show is every Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. In order to access the show, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness, and you'll be immediately connected to the show if you're logging on at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To listen to the replays of the shows, you can listen to the replay of this show at any time or even the past shows that I've done as well by going to the same website at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. Or you can also go to my own personal website, sherryweary.com, to be able to listen to the replays as well. Be sure to check out the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. On that website, you'll be able to find tons of helpful wellness tips to help you live a well and balanced life, along with my blogs as well. And you'll be able to see my most recent blogs, The Cost of Compassion, Do the Impossible, and my next blog called Living with Broken Pieces will be available within the next week. While you're at radiantsunshine.org, you also want to check out information about the new Women's Enrichment Community that is hosted by the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. The community has tons of helpful resources to be able to help you to be supported and enriched and empowered as a woman to accomplish your goals. And I'm telling you that the level of expertise that is in this community, the resources you're getting, it is top-notch. And just for a membership to be able to join is just a yearly cost of $97. There's also a student discount that is $47 for the year. For more information of how to make that payment and to be able to do all that, you can go to rswellness.org to get that information. We've already started, you know, doing things within the community, so you don't want to miss out. I'm actually the lead coach, you know, for that community, and it's awesome. It's really, really great. So go ahead, sign up today, and tell your friends about it as well. Make sure that you look out for the radio show that comes on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with Sharia Farmer. It's called The Lunch Date, A Social Wellness Break. During the show, Sharia gives tips on having healthy relationships, and it's really a great resource that is practical to help you to improve your relationships, not only, you know, romantic relationships, but also platonic and familial relationships as well. Remember, you can interact with me before and after and during the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me at Weary Consult. I am also on Periscope as well, and my handle on Periscope is Weary Consult. So you can go ahead and post. You can follow me. You can find out all things Sherry Weary on my social media accounts. You can also go to my website, which is sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com. Walking Through the Pain is also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Walking Through the Pain is the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which will take place here in Philadelphia, PA, on September 17, 2016. I strongly encourage you all to come out. This is going to be an awesome, awesome conference with great speakers, great information that's really going to help you just to have this awesome experience that is going to completely transform your life. For more information about the conference and to register, you want to go to PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. That's PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. There is currently a registration special where you can register for the conference for only $75. And I'm telling you, it's a really great deal. After July, that price will go up to the full registration price of $103. So, again, for more information to register for the conference, you can go to PatriceMyrickMinistries.com. And until we meet again, and as always, I pray that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.